Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I collected baseball cards as a kid. I still have them. But this caught my eye. Mike Trout rookie card sold for nearly $4 million over last week. And it broke a record. It broke the record that was set by the about 4 years ago when a 1909 Honus Wagner T206 card was sold for a little more than $3 million. And it caught my eye. And I thought, wow, that is really cool. Dave Wancha was the owner of that card. He is a sports betting consultant. He is a guy who has been active on social media. Of course, he had the Blazers in game one on the money line, and he's known as Vegas Dave, and he joins us now. Where are you right now, Dave?
I'm in Vegas studying games already for my players, getting basketball and baseball ready as I speak to you.
Let's talk about that card. What did you see years ago when you said, you know what, I'm going to buy this Mike Trout card? I think you paid $400,000 for it. You sold it for $4 million. That's not bad work.
Yeah, it was one of one, only one in the world. I had a vision in it. When I bought it for $400,000, I made a video that day. I actually videotaped the business transaction, me buying the card. And I told the world that this card will break the Honus Wagner record. And everyone laughed at me and called me names, called me stupid. And look at it now, $4 million. I flipped it real quick. I flipped in less than 2 years. I broke the record. I just knew that it was the only one in the world, and I know how to market. I know how to sell. I know how to brand, and I knew I could pump that value up, and I did exactly what I said I was going to do.
Did you collect cards as a kid, or has this been just more of a recent thing?
When I was 12, 13 years old, I was making about $6,000-$7,000 a month selling baseball cards. I was a dealer at card shows, setting up tables, selling cards. Instead of playing with my friends, I was at baseball card shows hustling. And at 14, I was running shows. I'd run a Holiday Inn. I would charge admission. I would charge for people to rent tables. And back then, I was living in Michigan. So I hired a lot of Detroit Red Wings players to sign autographs, pay them a fee, and then charge an autograph fee for the public. So I was making over $100,000 a year as a 14-year-old in the industry. And then I got out because when you get to high school, things change, priorities change, and then I just got in the card market back in about 2 years ago when the casinos banned me from betting, from winning too much. I parlayed my visions on future gambling bets into future baseball card bets, and it paid off again.
Let's talk about that, because the casinos said that you were using other people's names to place wagers. But was that because they said to you, Dave, we're not taking your action anymore?
Casinos are a bunch of crooks. They're sore losers. They love losers. They hate winners. When I was losing, and I was a professional loser for a while, I admit it, they loved me. But when I started winning $10, $15 million runs, they were not happy. I broke every sports betting record, and they didn't want to pay me. And because I stood up for my rights, they indicted me. And I'm a public figure in Vegas. Everyone knows who I am. I was not going around pretending with a fake mustache that I was someone else. So after 3 years of fighting the 19 felonies and 40 years in prison, everything got dropped. So the only thing is I couldn't bet no more. So I had to pivot and adjust, and I became a sports consultant. So now I sell picks and I help other people beat the casinos. And it was a blessing in disguise because I'm making a lot more money doing this than I was gambling.
It's kind of like when you were a kid and you started running the shows. We're talking to Dave Wancha, known as Vegas Dave. He is the seller of that Mike Trout 2009 Bowman Chrome Draft Prospects Super Fractor signed rookie card. What just happened? It was so much simpler back in the day, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but now, you know, they're smart. It's all supply and demand. So that Mike Trout, like the one I sold 2 months ago for $900,000, I bought it for $180,000. There's only five in the world. This one went through the roof because there was only one in the world. So it's the card. People were smart. You know, they're businessmen. They made supply and demand. So there's only one in the world. someone's going to pay to get it. Just like I paid $400,000 for it, I wanted it. Someone wanted it for me, they had to pay $4 million. So it's just the nature of the game right now in the baseball card industry.
You mentioned a lot of, you had a lot of haters that were saying, Dave, you're stupid. Dave, this is ridiculous. It's a piece of cardboard. But you had to know, like, hey, this is there's a play here. When you get a card like that, you know, it's not something you probably keep laying around. Like, you have to, you know you're sitting on something valuable there. Did you have friends that wanted to see it? Did you have people that say, Dave, let me check out the card. I want to see it.
Yeah, but I never showed anyone. I showed it a couple times on social media. Just for my content and marketing purposes, and then it was tucked away in a bank safe. So, you know, anytime I wanted content, I'd go there to shoot, bring my video team, shoot it, and then stash it back in the bank. So I did show it a lot online, but then I tucked it away.
We're talking to Dave Wancha, known as Las Vegas Dave. How'd you get that nickname?
No one could pronounce my last name Wancha, so they just called me one day in the year Vegas Dave, and it kind of just stuck.
I like that. Hey, by the way, settle something for us. We saw a photo of you sitting courtside at a Laker game, and you have this beautiful bag in front of you that is like, you know, Alabama Adriana, who's the producer of the show, says that's like a $200,000 bag that is in front of you. Like, what are you carrying around in a giant bag like that at an NBA game?
That's actually the record-breaking bag. That's a $500,000 Birkin bag. I bought that bag for $500,000. That's the world record. And now Birkin is an investment. They go up 15% a year. Like, I do crazy investments where everyone says I'm crazy for buying purses. I'm crazy for buying cardboard. I just keep doing things that other people don't do. But I do that to get people to talk about me. You know, LeBron carries a Birkin. You know, anybody that really has a lot of money knows what a Birkin is. So I just sometimes I bring three Birkin bags. I put three Birkin bags right in front of me while I sit in Jack Nicholson's seat for the Lakers game. So it's just a way of people to talk about me. And again, I take the criticism because I always tell people haters are just confused admirers. I just get people to talk about me and I convert them into sales for my business. That works out for me.
Dave Wancha with us. You picked the Royals in that World Series. Mm-hmm. Tremendous upset there. You got a big future bet there. You had Holly Holm over Ronda Rousey. That was a big-time mm-hmm. thing. You had the Blazers over the Lakers in the game one of this series. What did you see that you thought the Blazers would win game one?
Well, I have courtside tickets to the Lakers game. The last time I sat courtside, I think Dame put up 60-some points against them. And still to this day, if he plays solid, Blazers still could beat the Lakers. The Lakers just don't have a point guard. To me, I think the Clippers win everything this year. I called Blazers game one. I called Lakers game two. Today, I think I'm not saying the Blazers will win, but they'll cover the 7 points. They're going to cover the seven tonight.
Dave Wancha with us, known as Vegas Dave. All right, so for people who want to, let's just say there's aspiring investors or collectors that are out there, what advice do you give to, like, the 15-year-old kid listening to the show or the guy who's listening going, look, I can't drop $400,000 on a card. What should they be looking at?
You might not want to hear this, but I'm very honest. Don't buy, because the baseball card market is all hype right now. It's the highest it's ever been. And everybody listening to all these entrepreneurs like Gary Vee, they're buying Giannis rookies and Luka rookies for $1,000 or $2,000.
Yep.
Trust me, in a year or two, the market's going to flop. Now, the Trout Super Fracture, it's a one-of-one, it's an iconic card. Those yep. cards will never change. But all these young kids coming in now, they're going to get burnt because they're buying it at the peak. This is the biggest peak the industry's ever been in. And I'm not trying to make people upset. I'm just spitting facts. I know the market will not collapse. It's going to fall apart in the next 1 or 2 years. And all these people getting in now, it's too late. They should just wait for a better opportunity. Just trying to prevent people from making a mistake. There's yeah. a lot of hype right now in the industry.
I think you're right. You see record-setting things, and you have to wonder, is there a bubble there? Like, is there so much interest back? And look, I was around when that industry crashed, when they were just printing everything, you know, nothing had value. It was like just pieces of paper. I mean, they just made too much and they figured it out ultimately. So now that you can't bet and now that you're getting out of baseball cards, what are you going to do?
I'm busy. I work 18 hours a day. I have 40,000 people that buy my picks on a weekly basis. Baseball picks. So I'm killing the game right now. The number one sports consultant in the world. I'm just making people money. So I'm working 18 hours a day right now with basketball, hockey, and baseball going on right now. So no days off. It's pretty intense right now, my work schedule.
We got the legalization of sports wagering in Oregon. A lot of people, a lot more interest in it. How has that changed your industry when you see that sort of spreading across the country?
The truth is, it's just people were already betting illegally anyways. Everyone was betting offshore with the bookie. So bottom line, I don't look at it's getting bigger for the public eye as it's getting legalized, but people are already betting with the bookie. People are already betting offshore. And to me, in my business, you make money if you make people money. So it's a results-driven business. So all I care about is if I keep winning, people are to keep buying my picks, regardless if it's being legalized in different states.
Favorite baseball or football card you've ever owned?
I only bought two cards, Mike Trout and Derek Carr. I didn't invest in anybody else.
Really? Mm-hmm. What'd you see in Derek Carr?
I don't see much in Derek Carr. I'm all about a vision. So I don't think Derek Carr is a top two. I don't think he's a top three. I don't think he's a top five quarterback. But my vision is when the Raiders move to Vegas, it's going to be the biggest thing that ever hit sports entertainment. Unfortunately, COVID hit this year, but next year, I mean, look at the NFL. They were smart. They had five primetime games for the Raiders this year in Vegas. Why? Because they're smart. So when the Raiders start winning and we can actually go to that stadium, if they start winning, which they will, who's going to get the credit? The quarterback. And that card's going to go through the roof. When Dak was hot and Aaron was hot, Andrew Luck was hot, those cards are going for $100,000 a piece. So everyone says I'm stupid for buying Derek Carr, but I'm a visionary. And when when the Raiders start playing in Vegas and people start going to that stadium and that buzz is there, anything with silver and black is going to go up in value.
How many more friends do you have now that they say, hey, Dave was smart after all. Dave got $4 million for that card.
I don't have more friends. I just get more haters. And I always tell people haters are just confused admirers. My circle is very small. My circle gets smaller every single year. But my haters and my fans increase. So I really keep to myself. I really don't associate with that many people. I have a lot of bandwagoners, but I'm too busy.
It's really interesting because, you hit on something. You said, talking about the casinos. Like, the casinos are not in business there to lose money. And they take care of a lot of the bettors who will come in, and you said it, like the regular losers, they love those losers. They pamper those losers. Give us an idea of what you've seen winning and losing as, yourself in a casino.
Sure. When I'm losing, all my food is paid for at the hotel, unlimited buffet. I get the Elvis Presley suite at the Westgate, which is $50,000 a night because I'm betting $50,000 a game. But with VIP everything, and then when you start winning, they put limits on you, then they ban you, and then they trespass you, they arrest you if you go back to property, and then when you fight for your rights, they indict you, 19 felonies, 40 years in prison, try to take your freedom away. So even if I'm ever able to bet again, because they said after 3 years I can bet again, I will never bet again, because you can't beat the casinos, because when you lose, they take your money, and when you win, they don't pay you, and they try to put you in prison. So it's a lose-lose. All these other people that are betting still and posting their tickets, they can fool you and fool the world, but they can't fool me. They're professional losers, because if you're winning, the casinos will cut you off.
Yeah, it's always interesting when I see the photos of those winning tickets, I often wonder, okay, show me your tickets that you didn't win.
Correct. I was up and down for many years, and then when I hit the Royals, the Broncos, I went on that $10 million run, and that's when they said no more, and they cut me off. So I know, from fighting the casinos, from fighting the feds, from fighting the gaming in Vegas, that when you win, they're not happy, and they're not going to take your action.
Now, you bought this Mike Trout card for $400,000 a couple years ago. People made fun of you. There had to be some people in your corner that said, hey, man, I believe in what you're doing. Then, as you're watching the bidding, as it's starting to get $2 million, $3 million, what are you thinking? Like, there has to be part of you that feels validated by that.
Yeah, I always knew I was right. And then the auction house was blowing me up. They called me like 10 times, but I wasn't answering because I was watching the games. I was working. They're like, we have an offer for $3.5 million. Take it. I said, no. And they got really upset at me. I said, listen, I have a contract that this is the number I want. If I don't get it, send it back. And I already knew if someone's going to drop $3.5 million on a card, they're going to pay me the $3.9 that I want, because that's chump change at that level. I stood my ground, and they finally called back and said, fine. I said, okay, ship it.
I love that. You stick that in the mail?
No, they already had it. That's shipping my money.
Oh, okay. There you go. Hey, I really appreciate you making time for us, and congratulations on selling the card. And I appreciate your honesty about the casinos. I think that's a valuable thing for people to hear. What else do people need to know?
Oh, I have a documentary about my life, about beating the casinos, feds coming after me. We're going to have an agreement done the next week or two. Two distributors, two networks are working on a proposal for me. I have a book about my life coming out as well. So that'll all be hitting TV this year. So I got a lot of stuff. I'm sharing the world my story. And hopefully I can inspire people to go for their dreams, because everything I've done, I've been called crazy for being a sports bettor, crazy for being a sports consultant, crazy for buying baseball cards, crazy for buying Birkins. You know, I guess to me, people with closed minds to me, you know, they always call people crazy. I just have a different business.
At age 8 or 9, what did you want to be?
Rich. I always knew I wanted to be a millionaire. I didn't know how I was going to become that, but I always knew I was going to be wealthy.
Why do you think that was? Where did that come from?
I don't know, because my parents are middle class. They worked for a regular job for 40 years, saved all their money, and retired. And for me, I was always unconventional. I always wanted that side hustle. I never wanted a boss. I never wanted to work a 9-to-5. I always wanted to be self-paid. You know, I always tell people, you can either be the boss or work for the boss. And I choose to be the boss. So teach its own. I just always wanted a life by design and live by my rules.
Dave Wancha, I appreciate you. Congrats on the sale of the card.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, there he is, Las Vegas Dave. I want rapid reaction on this. Not at all what I expected in the interview. Alabama Adriana, I want you to go first. The Las Vegas Dave that we got, what did you think?
Definitely not what I was expecting. I thought he was going to, you know, try to sell us something or some idea or whatever, but I think he sounds a bit salty with his experience with the the casinos, but understandably so. I thought it was a good interview. It was interesting.
I like that he was a little salty with the casinos, because I got to be honest with you. Like, look, the casinos sell you a bill of goods. Everything we see in Hollywood is built around the idea, the glamour of it. What you don't see are the casinos messing with the people who are winning and ushering in the people who are losing. You know, I know casino employees that I've talked with whose job it is to bring in people with money from other countries and pamper them and let them gamble in the casinos. And of course, they will comp you just about anything if they know you're there and you're going to stay there and you're going to bet big enough limits. I also know, look, I think he was on his best behavior. I'm not sure if he researched the show and realized, like, okay, I got to come in and be more genuine, but I found him to be more genuine than I expected. And the people who were reaching out to me saying, don't bring this creep onto the show, he's a shyster, he's all that. I'm looking now and I'm going, you know, I kind of got maybe the best version of this him in that interview. Judah Newby, your impression.
Yeah, super interesting. More positive, more affable, more likable than I was anticipating with Vegas Dave. I will say, to echo Adriana's point, hearing him kind of stand up for himself with that level of conviction, there's definitely another side of the story. And so I'll have to put in more research to find out what exactly because there's no way, you know, his big asterisk is, oh, the casinos won't take your money if you're winning. Well, that's not true. If you're winning millions upon millions upon millions upon millions, but you know, the 0.1% of bettors, then maybe it's a conversation, but it's certainly not applicable to universal bettors.
The dude bought a baseball card for $400,000, sold it for $4 million, is now telling people the market has a bubble, stay away from it. He's telling you to stay away from the casinos because you can't win there and they're just there to take your money. I think those are messages that I viewed as genuine. I also heard a guy who's, you know, he's playing with a lot of confidence, you know, and I'm not going to begrudge him for playing with confidence. And I didn't hear him try to sell anybody. He didn't plug a website. He didn't say, go bet with me here, get my advice there. And I appreciated that, because I think a lot of people will come on the show and realize they have the statewide platform and they'll go, all right, here's my 1-900 number and take it away. I thought it was pretty interesting. And I've gone from wanting to go out and buy baseball cards to going, the market's overbought. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing from a lot of people that listened to that interview with Vegas Dave, some of whom are pointing out that the guy is often wrong when it comes to his picks, and they see him as preying on innocent people. Here's how I feel about people who are engaging in wagering, whether you're using the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app, which, by the way, it's got its problems. We could do an hour or two on that. Or whether you're going to Las Vegas or you're using some other site, if you are engaging in sports wagering or any kind of gambling, you better be eyes wide open going into it. And I hope that you wouldn't play with money that you don't view as disposable income. But that said, I think there are a lot of people and a lot of services out there that are just selling guesses to people as though they are real answers when it comes to sports wagering.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.